In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, grace and peace to you all, dear family, on this brilliant 4th of July weekend, a day which we hold most dear because it is the day when our brilliant founding fathers, including our second and third presidents, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson also happens to be on Mount Rushmore, along with the great Benjamin Franklin, signed the Declaration of Independence, putting their very lives and all of their property on the line and calling upon Almighty God as their witness to the rightness and righteousness of their cause. In fact, that is a summation of the last full sentence of the Declaration, which states, "And for the support of this Declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." But here's something I just learned yesterday. Of the 56 who signed the Declaration, 17 of them were at least 50 years old. This is back in the 1700s. 17 of them were at least 50 years old, 6 of them were at least 60 years old, and one of them was 70 years old. In other words, these were not young, low-information ideologues setting up the first American chop zone. These were older, hard-working, educated. You know, education only comes to us through our personal sacrifice and study. These men were educated. Yeah, this is inside John F. Kennedy when he was in the White House. He had this dinner for a whole bunch of luminaries, and he said something, words to the effect, it's almost a verbatim quote, "There hasn't been this much intelligence in the whatever room, the dining room of the White House, until since Thomas Jefferson dined alone." But it shows you the brilliance of our founding fathers. They're not some young, low-information ideologues. These were older, hardworking, educated, successful, well-informed patriots. People who had brains in their heads and God in their hearts. Older people who put their lives and all their property on the line for truth and for justice and for freedom. They were men of courage. In a quote attributed to the great Andrew Jackson, "One man with courage makes a majority," and there were many back then. Well, history informs us of the success of their endeavor, and we here today are the heirs and beneficiaries of their courage, of the risk they took, and the blood so many others shed in the name of God and in the name of freedom. Which is why, to this day, we can say, "God bless America." And exactly why we pledge allegiance to the flag, the great flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And just so we're clear on something, many of you maybe already know this, under God was added in the 1950s with the urging of the Knights of Columbus and the urging of President Eisenhower when, listen now, the threat of communists, Marxists, socialists, godless, evil people was a very, very clear and present danger. We knew it back then. As Catholics, we knew it more than most. Because it's amazing about this, that in 1917, our Blessed Mother warned us at Fatima, and many times since, of the clear and present danger posed by godless communists, Marxists, and socialists. Yet, despite that 1917 warning, yet by 1933, Hitler and his Socialist Party appointed Hermann Göring Minister of the Interior. Now watch. His first orders were to defund and eliminate police departments so that they would not interfere with his brown shirts, whose mission it was to riot, burn, beat up, and kill citizens in an effort to sway the elections. Is that look and sound slightly familiar? And so many Catholics are so culpably uninformed. Your family, this isn't talking politics. When the Blessed Virgin, the Mother of God herself, warned us about communists, the Marxists, the socialists. And it is not talking politics when the last 11 vicars of Christ on earth utterly condemned the godless communists, Marxists, and socialists. It is, however, cowardice and dereliction of our duty to not speak up and speak out on this Catholic truth. As the great Archbishop Chaput said, quoting the great vicar of Christ, Pope Benedict XVI, lay people and priests don't need to renounce their Catholic faith to be apostates. They simply need to be silent when their baptism demands that they speak out, to be cowards when Jesus asks them to have courage. So let us hope and pray that Catholics with courage do speak up and do speak out so that our nation remains under God. For as we know from sacred scripture itself, one instance being Psalm 127, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. We still have our freedom to do that right thing, freedom which we owe our temporal gratitude to every single person who ever served in the armed services, but especially to those million plus combatants who gave the last full measure of their devotion to ensure our God-endowed cause of personal freedom. God bless those who risked their lives since 1776 or lost them defending us. And it is why we owe an unrepayable debt of gratitude to our law enforcement officers who risk their own health and lives when they wear the badge that signifies their united efforts to protect and serve us, especially to protect us from those who would loot, burn, and destroy what we, through our American work ethic and personal industry, have earned as we pursued our happiness pursuant to the Declaration of Independence. But as an aside, dear family, yesterday, after the 4:30 Mass, while walking back to the rectory, right about in the middle of the road, a thought struck me like lightning, as the saying goes, and it left me stunned. Do you know how we've had about to endure a month and a half, roughly, of godless criminal looting and rioting and burning? And now over the past 2 weeks, the godless anarchists, the Marxists, the socialists keep ramping up as they vandalize and tear down statues seemingly everywhere, including right here in Madison, where a low-information mob tore down the statue of an abolitionist. But here's the thought that stunned me. When have we seen all this before? When have we seen that kind of activity before, such as destruction and ripping down of statues? Isn't that exactly what was done in our sacred sanctuaries by the liturgists after Vatican II? You've heard the horror stories. Statues of our Blessed Mother thrown in dumpsters. Altars broken up, destroyed. Altars that were paid for by the sacrifices, the blood, sweat, and tears of how many faithful Catholics? They broke them up, they destroyed them. Let us be honest and admit the truth. Let us finally see the truth clearly. Every time we now see the next statue coming down, just remember, they did the exact same thing to our Catholic churches 30 to 40 years ago, except in here, they destroyed the sacred. And every time you see the mobs out there clamoring for communist, Marxist, socialist ideologies like liberté, égalité, fraternité, every time you see those leveling techniques of the French Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Russian error our Blessed Mother warned us about, playing out before our eyes, Let us realize and see the exact same ideology at work, was at work in the recovations of the church and the Protestantization of our sacred liturgies, where we are witnesses to such communist ideas as throwing away. This is what happened. Throwing away 3,400 years of our worship history, like the God-commanded worship of Exodus 25 through 31, which has not been abrogated since 3,400 years ago. And the removing of the distinction between where the laity should be and the Holy of Holies, where only the priest can be. We see this where we are witnesses to sticking the altar way out there so we can all sit around in a great big circle as we hide the real presence of Jesus away in some closet. Your family, yesterday, for the first time, the scales fell from my eyes as I connected the dots and realized just how much godless communism, Marxism, and socialism, the diabolical smoke of Satan, entered the church exactly as Pope St. Paul VI said it had. Let us connect the dots, dear family, and realize that just what Our Lady of Fatima warned us about the spreading of a godless Russian error, we see the consequences of it all around us now, both outside and inside the church. So for now, while we still have freedom, let us this day and every day lift up the armed services and law enforcement in prayers of thanksgiving and of intercession for their personal protection in these frightening times. On this great celebratory weekend of the 4th of July, let us give thanks to God for the freedom with which He endowed us, and give thanks and prayers to that same God for those who risked their lives or lost them in defense of those freedoms. God bless America. God bless our armed services. God bless our law enforcement. That's just not my opinion, dear family. This comes straight out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. As you know, there are 2,865 numbered sections in the Catechism, and we're not going to go through all of them today, but we're going to go through just a couple. For today, on this very special weekend, let us now ponder the words of the Catechism of the Catholic Church as they teach us what it means to be good citizens, which, by considering the contrast to these rights and duties that we see out in the streets these days, defines what it means to not be good citizens. Very briefly then, firstly is a short section entitled Duties of Civil Authorities, section 2235. Those who exercise authority should do so as a service. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. That's a quote from Matthew. The exercise of authority is measured morally in terms of its divine origin, not some man-made law, no. Always remember this, legality does not equal morality. The exercise of authority is measured morally in terms of its divine origin, its reasonable nature and its special effect. That sounds very theological, but watch, it all boils down to this, what comes next. No one can command or establish what is contrary to the dignity of persons and the natural law. And then section 2237, political authorities are obliged to respect the fundamental rights of the human person. They cannot be suspended by public authorities without legitimate and proportionate reasons. Dear family, whatever else might be said about a lockdown forced upon us now since about 4 months ago, it can be said that anyone who knows anything about human nature knows that you cannot suppress humanity for 4 months and not expect a powder keg to blow. Once the flattening of the curve was achieved, any further lockdown beyond what humanity can tolerate is a diabolical infringement upon the freedom of the human person endowed by Almighty God. That is what the Catechism teaches. Then we come to the section entitled The Duties of Citizens, section 2238. Those subject to authority should regard those in authority as representatives of God who has made them stewards of his gift. Again, that's a quote from Scripture, Romans chapter 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Live as free men. Yet, now listen closely, dear family, to the next words of 2238. Yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil, but live as servants of God. Listen, all that rioting, looting, burning, a direct violation of the catechism of the Catholic Church. The catechism teaches us that we have a God-given right to criticize those in positions of authority. Here it says, again, in section 2238, their loyal collaboration, talking about the citizens, includes the right and at times the duty to voice their just criticisms of that which seems harmful to the dignity of persons and to the good of the community. The catechism teaches us we have the God-given right to criticize those in positions of authority. Watch how quickly they get upset when you do. And then finally, section 2239, very briefly, which reads, it is a duty of citizens to contribute along with the civil authorities to the good of society in a spirit of truth, justice, solidarity, and freedom. So to summarize all that, dear family, just as our faith imposes upon us a duty to be good Catholics, our lives as faithful Catholics imposes on us a duty to be good citizens. Thus, in both our spiritual lives and in our temporal lives, we are constrained in the right to protest in any way, shape, or form we choose, because our right to protest ends when it harms another person or the property of another person. And that includes the property of the government, because that belongs to each and every one of us. And I don't need to tell you, dear family, we live in precarious times because they are faithless times. And without faith, there is no grace. So we live in a graceless time. And the evidence of this gracelessness is all around us. And let us not pretend otherwise, that Satan is behind these graceless times and underlines every graceless person whose conduct does not comport with the exhortations of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So, just yesterday, the great Father Rick Heilman's U.S. Grace Force published a call for fasting for freedom, a call to each and every one of us to participate in a 40-day fasting for freedom, almost like Nineveh, when they all put on sackcloth and ashes. It's a Nineveh approach to repentance from July 7th, so like 2 days from now, through the Assumption, August 15th. What a great day to end. If you just type in U.S. Grace Force in your search engine, you'll find it. Father Peckman, Father Heilman, and I will be leaders of this 40-day fast. Each day will be broken into prayer, reflection, and reparation. And the reflection is supposed to be written on a rotating basis between Father Peckman, Father Heilman, and myself. And it regards, each day will regard a reflection, a particular manifestation of the demonic and the sin it leads to. This is just a quote from the website. It will commend a corresponding virtue for us to cultivate. And listen, I know not every one of us has every one of those manifestations in our life. And I know we all like to think we're all just really good and I don't owe reparations to anybody, especially those looters and burners. Listen, if we ever have that crazy thought go through our heads, myself included, all we have to do to disavow ourselves of that wrongful attitude is look at the cross. Because he didn't do anything wrong, but look at the reparation he paid. And then he tells us, listen, you pick up your own crosses. Why? We're supposed to make reparation for the bad behavior of other people. That's actually true. So it'll commend a corresponding virtue to cultivate so that we build up this grace, build up this reparation for those bad behaviors of others. There'll be a particular prayer of reparation and exorcism each day. Isn't that cool? I just love to hear that. That's so Catholic. Prayer of reparation and exorcism. Each day, followed by a litany, and listen to these. Monday, the litany of humility. Tuesday, the litany of St. Michael the Archangel. Wednesday, the litany of St. Joseph. How appropriate in this year of St. Joseph. Thursday, the litany of the most precious blood of Jesus. Friday, the litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Saturday, the litany of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Sunday, the litany of the Blessed Sacrament. Dear family, that there's a who's who of litanies. And then there will be acts of reparation and penance, such as to pray a rosary for the intention of the exorcism of the day's area of reflection, or to pray a divine mercy chaplet in reparation for sin caused by that area of the day's reflection, or to commit one act of either a spiritual or corporal work of mercy for either one who has been harmed by our own sin or for one who has harmed us by their sin, to commit to fasting or abstinence days. I don't like fasting any more than you. To a prescribed time of exercise. I was looking at the ones that apply to priests. It says like an hour. And I emailed Father Heilman and I said, do you mean an hour every day? Where do you get time for that? I don't know. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to have to do it, I guess. And to refrain, watch this one, from all use of the conventional media throughout the 40 days. And to limit one's use of social media to 1 hour a day. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? It does. It sounds like a lot because we haven't really practiced that in our lives every day as perhaps we should be. Maybe we wouldn't see what's going on all around us if every Catholic did that. After all, our time on earth is short. Eternity is a very long time. Don't we want to do everything we can do today to make sure that that day turns out well? So, dear family, I exhort you to go to the U.S. Grace Force homepage and see it for yourselves. And then, in just 2 days from now, commit yourselves to an example, to the example of the Ninevites, so you can build your own spiritual arks and put oil in your lamps like the wise virgins. Firstly, for the sake of your own eternal soul, but secondly, for the sake of the eternal souls of those you love. Because I can't count the number of times parents have said to me, well, my kids have left the faith. They're no longer practicing the faith. You know what? Spend 40 days fasting, following this for your children. And thirdly, of course, for the sake of this glorious country in which we are still blessed to be free. I mean, was it last week in the bulletin? We had that beautiful 14-year-old saint who gave his life, Viva Cristo Rey. We still are free, sort of. And this is actually not, you know, I said it seemed like a lot, but this is not asking us, or it's not too much to ask each one of us to do, truly not too much to ask. In days past, since the founding of this great country, our forefathers put everything on the line 24/7, 365 for years. They put their own lives on the line. They put all their property on the line that we might live and breathe freedom. Especially religious freedom. So let us, at the very least, do some small part in prayer and in fasting to honor those who gave such devotion to our country, and especially to honor those who gave the last full measure of devotion. And may what we do in those 40 days be one united cry to Almighty God, bless America. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless.